Welcome to the show. We have some great health topics to chew on today. Could taking a hot bath give you the same fat and calorie burning benefits as exercise? Research shows it just might be a healthy alternative to joining a gym. Also, for decades, we've been told to stay clear of aluminum cookware because it's been linked to dementia and Alzheimer's disease. Well, new research shows the foil used by millions of people for cooking, baking, and grilling can also leach into your food. We're going to tell you what you can do to protect yourself and your family. And finally, we're going to discuss calorie counting. Does it work or is it just a waste of your time? And that's spelled W-A-I-S-T. Stay tuned. It all starts now.
It's time for Chew On This, your health and wellness headlines and media propaganda report with Dr. David Friedman and Miss Tell It Like It Is, the author of the Skinny Bitch book series, Kim Bar-Nguyen.
Hey, welcome to the show, everybody. Our first topic will definitely be one of our most heated discussions yet. If you're one of the many people who hate exercising but want to get in shape for this summer, here's some exciting news for you. Research shows that taking a hot bath may actually burn as many calories as exercising. Researchers at Loughborough University in the UK compared people who exercised to those that enjoyed a nice, relaxing 104-degree bath. Here's what they discovered. Bathing for a half hour burned 140 calories, equivalent to a 30-minute fast-paced walk. Blood sugar levels were actually 10% lower for the participants that took a hot bath compared to those that exercised. But wait, there's more. Taking a hot bath made positive changes to the inflammatory response, similar to what happens following exercise. Taking regular hot baths may contribute to reducing type 2 diabetes and other metabolic diseases. Now, Kim, I'm a huge fan of taking hot baths, but this takes my appreciation to a new level. Are you a bath person?
I sure am, and after hearing about this, I am going to be the new bath activist. I'm all in. I am so excited. You know, it's amazing, too, and they say that it can reduce the risk for strokes and heart attacks and can help improve blood pressure. It's an all-around win-win situation.
I'm thinking of changing my name to Dr. Calgon. I'm all in. Pun intended. I'm all in.
It's amazing, and you think about, you know, I was reading that so many other cultures really are more into baths, I think, than we are. But I've always been hugely into taking a hot bath. It's so relaxing. But now that we know that there's so many other health benefits, definitely let's get on that bandwagon.
Definitely. You know, in my office, I recommend all my patients take hot baths to help their spasms, headaches, neck, back pain, and even sciatica. But Kim, here's the crazy excuse that I hear from so many people as to why they only take showers. One excuse, the biggie. It's too gross to soak in a bathtub of dirt. So I ask them, I say, where does the dirt come from? And they reply, from my skin. And the voice of reasoning, Kim, I ask them, how can they be grossed out about dirt after it leaves their body, but they aren't bothered when that gross dirt is on their body?
Right. And usually, I hear the same thing.
Isn't that funny? And they say, it's just gross. So if that's you, take a quick shower, then jump in the tub. The shower is so much less healthful because you're standing. All those muscles stay erect and strong to keep you balanced. But when you're in a bathtub, you're relaxed. You're actually, muscles let go. So definitely.
Right. And you're thinking, too, what are these people rolling in that's making them that dirty that they think that they're, you know, making the bath so extremely dirty?
Funny. Exactly. Now, there's psychological, you know, and physiological reasons why baths are so healthy. One is they burn cortisol levels, which is your stress hormone. So a hot bath burns calories because it increases your heart rate and circulation. And it also releases a protein that diverts sugar from the bloodstream into your muscles. So this helps protect your arteries and nerves. And Kim, it doesn't cost $40 a month for a gym membership, not even $19.95. You can jump in a hot bathtub today and get all these benefits for just pennies. It's the price of water. It's a wallet-friendly, healing, relaxing, good time. And so many people...
And it's wonderful, too. You know, you think, like, on that day that, you know, maybe it's raining or you just can't get to the gym or something or other, you make an excuse, you're not feeling well, get in the bath, and there you go. You're still burning calories. You're still doing your body good. So you feel like you've done something.
Exactly. You know, and I practice what I preach. I definitely take a bath every day. I add a cup of Epsom salts. Are you a fan of those, Kim?
Oh, absolutely. Love it.
Yeah, it's a natural. For those listening, it's not the salt that you put on your eggs in the morning. It's literally a mineral compound of magnesium sulfate. People, I'll just close. I don't have that. I'll just put some salt shaker. No, it's a different kind of salt.
Right.
And magnesium is important for so many bodily functions, muscle control, energy production, and it eliminates harmful toxins. So a lot of people call it a detox bath because it really does pull out the toxins. And according to the National Academy of Sciences, most Americans are deficient in magnesium, which can contribute to serious health issues. So soaking in a hot bath with magnesium sulfate offers amazing healing properties in addition to, hey, you're getting a good workout by just laying there.
That's such a great point. The two together are, I mean, that's amazing. And I think I recently bought the Epsom salt that had a little bit of, I think it was like lavender or something. So I think I could have fallen asleep in the bath while I'm detoxing and burning calories at the same time. It was that relaxing.
I got a quick story I got to share about one of my patients. He's a CEO of a corporation. He's so stressed out, literally his muscles are like concrete. So I asked him one day, I said, do you have access to a bathtub? And he said, yeah, I've got a giant jacuzzi tub I installed 10 years ago when I built the house. He said, but he's never used it. I said, why'd you install a beautiful big jacuzzi that you never use it? He said that he did it for the resale value of his house. So Kim, he paid for a jacuzzi for the next owner to enjoy. So I suggested, I said, try taking it, see if it helps. He says, really? All right, I'll give it a shot. He came back a month later, Kim. He told me he could not believe the amazing difference it made and how he was hooked on Epsom salt baths. And every night he soaks for an hour while watching Netflix and he drinks a beer. But here's the funny part, something that his wife told him. She said that he's soaking in Epsom salts so long that he's getting as wrinkled as the man they were named after, Buddy Epsom, a.k.a. Barnaby Jones.
Oh, that is awesome.
Yeah, Buddy was definitely,
so funny.
He's definitely the poster child of prune skin, but that he wasn't named, that's not where the salts are named from.
Oh, that is so funny. But good for him. He finally got on that bandwagon.
He finally got in there. What's your opinion on pouring some essential oils into the bath? Have you tried that before, Kim?
I love it, love it, love it. Anything to do with essential oils as well. They're wonderful, and they each have such wonderful properties and their own smell, and just a few drops in there is just like heaven. I used to do that for my son when he was little and he'd have a cold, put some eucalyptus in there, and it would open up his nose, relax him.
Yeah,
it was
sinuses.
Perfect.
Peppermint eucalyptus, great for sinus. Or if you have a hard time sleeping and relaxing at night, a little lavender oil. Citrus oil helps to energize you. So if you have aches and pains and sinus and just kind of like feel weak, pour both of them. Like Kim said, eucalyptus, and you can mix them. Put a little citrus oil. But don't go overboard,
yeah,
right, Kim?
Really, really jazz up a bath in so many ways.
Right, but again, it can cause skin irritation, so just about 15 drops. Don't pour the whole thing in there. A lot of people say,
exactly.
I'll pour it all in there. Probably not a good idea. That's great.
It's small for a reason.
Exactly. So that's great. Great topic, though. Next up, we're going to talk about aluminum foil. Millions of Americans actually use this foil to bake fish, roast vegetables, line baking pans, and also to trap steam when cooking. According to new research published by the World Health Organization, some of the foil leaches into your food, which can cause health problems over time. High concentrations of aluminum have been linked to dementia, Alzheimer's disease, and kidney disease. Now, Kim, you're an avid chef. You're an author of a couple best-selling cookbooks. What's your opinion on cooking and baking with aluminum foil?
Yeah, you know, these are things that I read about a number of years ago, and it was very sad to have to break it to my husband that, you know, he's French and he cooks his fish in the aluminum foil. I think they call it a papillote, which is a name for it. But they said that it's actually worse with acidic foods, such as fish and tomatoes, because
right.
And with the higher temperatures, it causes to leach more into the food. So we had to do away with any of the aluminum foil cooking and just had to find some other alternative. But it's not even just, you think about all the other products we're using on a daily basis that have aluminum in it, then you add what you're cooking into it, putting it in the oven or grilling with it at these extreme temperatures, it just makes it all the more worse for you.
I know. I tell people, think of aluminum being to your brain what cigarette smoke is to your lungs. The toxic metal can really damage your cerebrum because it produces oxidative stress. And Kim, I remember when I was a kid, me and my brother, we would put a sheet of aluminum foil in our mouths and push and mold it to our teeth, and we'd walk around with silver smile all day. Who knows
I did
what
that.
You did that too?
Yes.
who knows what damage we could have done by doing that? And it might be why I'm so forgetful now as an adult.
I'm always writing things down because I can't remember either.
And it's because we did that with our teeth. I know it is.
Right.
I mean, what idiots were we? We just, you know, I used to have a photographic memory, but I'm just out of film now. That's the problem. Out of film.
Oh, I'm right behind you on that one.
That's right.
There's some alternatives too. We started using because they sell metal skewers as well. But there's the bamboo skewers, and you can soak them in water so you don't get the splinters. And, you know, it's a great way to cook vegetables in the oven or, you know, on the barbecue, or they've got grilling baskets you can use. And we just, you know, really had to change our pans and bakeware and make sure we're using glass and, you know, things that don't contain aluminum. It's really important especially when you're cooking at high temperatures.
Yeah, even like baking with like you mentioned glass, you can use like a glass pan for baking and also roasting vegetables. You know, nothing
exactly,
wrong with that. That's the old go-to. My favorite though aluminum foil alternative is parchment paper. I don't know if you use that when you cook, but
it makes a good one.
Isn't it great? It makes like the best steamed vegetables. And you mentioned fish were not good in tin foil, but they're great and moist in this parchment paper. So it's great. You can line cake molds, baking sheets, unlike aluminum foil. Parchment paper doesn't stick to food, so that's kind of nice. It just comes right off. So I've done aluminum foil in the past. You can't get the food off. It just literally it seals to it.
Right. You know, and another thing, too, is, you know, the more the aluminum that you're getting in your body, it's accumulating in your kidneys and the brain and your lungs and your liver. So that's when you want to reach for your Epsom salt and get in the bath and detox from all this aluminum that you're using. Nice little circle there.
Exactly. Now, I know you've in your books, you've shared hidden chemicals, not just in food, but also in health and beauty products. And aluminum is an ingredient used in like deodorants, makeup, hair products. Are there any proactive steps people can take to avoid such products?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, it's in so many things. And, you know, there's amazing websites. I'm a believer. I Google everything. And there's all the information you would ever need about that, you know, besides it being in...
Right.
Some of my books, but no, there's deodorants that are all natural. You just need to read ingredients, and it'll literally say on the deodorant package, you know, without aluminum. And that is a huge another topic too of using deodorant that has aluminum in it. Antacids as well has aluminum in it. So really, just read labels, and that's something you and I always talk about: is reading labels, knowing what companies are going, you know, natural and using alternative ingredients and doing away with the bad ones. So, and think about all the people that are drinking sodas out of the cans. I mean, that's another bad one there as well.
That's right. Yeah, we recently had the Deputy Director for Environmental Working Group on the show, and they compiled a large list of safe health and beauty products. You can find that. The website's ewg.org/skindeep. So they've kind of done the work for you. If you don't like labels or you don't understand, sometimes they hide ingredients in the labels. But, you know, you make a good point. People are so blindly trusting. They just grab the product and they don't flip it over and really analyze and do their due diligence. It's so important.
And I think, the Environmental Working Group is such a great resource. I'm glad you mentioned that, because when I was, you know, doing research for my book, that was one of the big ones that I went to, and they're trusted. They really do good work, and they just very thorough. So yeah, that's a really good one a good website to look up, because they're amazing about their research.
And they're unbiased, so they're kind of like looking out for us. They're not being paid by, you know, third party.
Exactly.
Hey, wink, wink, wink. Tell them our product's great.
Right.
Here's some cash.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
Which happens. Great. So, hey, we got a last headline comes from the Alternative Daily News. There are a lot of fad diets that come and go, but hands down, the most popular diet during the last half century has been calorie counting. It's become the standard methodology for people wanting to lose weight. However, calorie counting can put your body into a famine mode, which causes you to gain the weight back and then some, and calorie counting diets are often called the yo-yo diets. Kim, what's your view on using a calculator to add the calories we can eat each day?
Not for that at all. It's not fun. It's yucky, and I won't have any part of that.
So you don't pull out the calculator.
I mean, could you imagine, you know, working in a restaurant in my life, I've had people, how many women, you know, can you tell me the calorie count of this? And a lot of restaurants don't. I mean, if you're a big chain, they do. But really, doesn't that take the fun out of eating when you've got to take the calculator out in your book and figure out if you're allowed to eat something? It's terrible.
It is. And you know what? Not many people know what a calorie is. By definition, it's a measurement of heat. So it's the amount of heat required to raise the temperature from 1 kilogram of water through 1 degree Celsius. So a calorie is heat. Heat doesn't make you fat. If that were the case, everybody living at the Southern Hemisphere would be obese, but they're actually leaner.
Right.
And Kim, you'll love this, Kim. The biggest calorie counting organization on earth is called Weight Watchers, and they've been having people count calories for over 50 years. Interestingly, look what I found. A 2011 interview with David Kershaw. He's the CEO of Weight Watchers, and he said in a Time magazine interview, quote, "Calorie counting has become unhelpful when we have a 100-calorie apple in one hand and a 100-calorie pack of cookies in the other. To view them as being the same makes no sense." End of quote. Now, Kim, for Weight Watchers to make a statement like that really puts into perspective the lack of efficacy calorie counting has on dieting. I mean, Kim, you know, you don't recommend somebody being a prisoner to a calculator, but you know what? If they have 500 calories of broccoli, it's not as bad as 500 calories of potato chips.
Right. And that's the thing about Weight Watchers is that they not only, they'll give you the option to, and this isn't good if you're not that knowledgeable about food. You have a certain number of calories that you have, that you're allowed, or points you're allowed to eat in a day. So you may always go for the bad and say, I'm going to eat this because I'm allowed to squeeze it in. And it could be a brownie. It could be a cupcake and something that you could be eating, you know, some tofu scramble or some veggies or something like that. Dieting should just never say that word, first of all, but it should just be about people understanding, you know, healthy food, what your body needs, what's natural, what, you know, eating three meals might not work for you. You know, I have to eat a lot of little meals throughout the day, and that works for me, and it seems to, you know, really help my metabolism.
And you brought up such a good point. You said it takes the enjoyment out of eating when you have to be a mathematician. And it's so true. Eating should be joy. It shouldn't be like, oops, so I went 5 points. Oh, what am I going to do? I have to cut. What am I going to cut out? All right, I can do one half of one less tomorrow. And it's, you know, if you want to lose weight, like you said, focus on eating living foods. That's the key. You and I've talked about for years, not foods that are cooked to death. If you want to eat pasta, that's a dead food. That's okay. Have a salad with it. That's a living food. If you're a beef lover, and if they crave T-bone steak, which you and I do not, Kim, but if that's their food of choice, eat it with lightly steamed broccoli. That's a living food. You know, we're the only species, Kim, that cooks our food to death. And when I say to death, I mean we destroy the vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, bioflavonoids.
We've
always said, focus on living foods. And you know what? There's no need to count calories. I have never heard of anyone that became overweight because they splurged and ate too many calories in asparagus or quinoa.
Right. No, that's so true. You know, and it's a whole lifestyle thing. It's, you know, stocking your pantry and your refrigerator with the good, healthy food so that you're not tempted to reach for anything bad, you know, and making sure that you've got all the food groups, you've got tons of color in your kitchen, and, you know, just be mindful about what you're putting into your body. I mean, you know, you and I can talk about this for hours and hours, but it isn't anything difficult. And food is one of the most amazing pleasures that people get. Cooking is great, just the act of cooking. Eating is even more wonderful. So why ruin it by holding the calculator and depriving yourself of things? I mean, if it's here in a pastry shop, you know, I get that, but you still, every once in a while, you need to enjoy life. And if that means having some cake every once in a while, have the cake. But your base overall is healthy.
Is healthy, yeah. And you know, you can splurge every now and then. You don't have to beat yourself up because your body is going to say, all right, what am I doing the most of? And that's kind of what you become. So it's, you know, don't deprive. The word diet starts with D-I-E. Die. And you know,
it's awful.
Awful. And you know, these people, Kim, that calorie count, the worst thing they can do is exercise while being on a calorie restricted diet, because this increases the need for glucose, and when it's not available, the body uses muscle and fat for fuel and protein. So guess what, folks? Your body eats away your own tissue if it doesn't get it from the food you eat. So, Kim, maybe they should call it the cannibal calorie counting diet. Because it's right?
Okay, that freaks me out more than a bath with my own dirt.
Yeah,
that doesn't sound too pleasant at all.
No, it doesn't. So to reiterate what Kim and I both agree on, don't calorie count. Instead, give your body a steady supply of delicious, satisfying, and effective living foods, and that will keep your appetite, blood sugar, and waistlines in control. Wow, that's just so simple, but it makes sense.
So simple.
You know, don't be a math.
People make it so much more difficult than it has to be.
They really do. We may have time for a question from a listener. I know a lot of people writing in. We have one from Carrie Whiteside in Nashville, Tennessee. Dear Dr. Friedman and Kim, I eat a healthy diet, mostly vegetarian, and exercise regularly, but I'm always getting sick, whether it's the flu, allergies, or strep throat. If it's going around, I get it. Why? Great question. Here's someone, Kim, that seems to be doing all the right things, but her immune system isn't up to par. Any suggestions?
Oh, my goodness. You know, that's such a tough one, too. You know, you really do have to know, though, what someone's eating to make sure that their immune system is strong. And that's such a, you know, so important to make sure that you're eating the right foods. You know, I don't know. For me, I knock on something, but I've never been one to get colds or flus or anything like that. And I eat the rainbow. I just make sure that I'm eating as healthy as I can. I'm not eating junk. When I'm feeling really tired and run down, that's when I know I need to kick it into high gear,
right,
and really just, like, you know, up the healthy foods. I do take a multivitamin because I want to make sure that I'm getting, you know, across the board enough of the vitamins and minerals that I need.
Right. You know, I commend Carrie because she eats a healthy diet, but as she found out, there are many more factors to a healthy immune system. First and foremost is actually getting 7 to 8 hours of restorative sleep. I wrote a blog post on some of the tips to achieve this, which you can go to yourgoodhealthradio.com. Look at those. You got to get some sleep or your immune system's toast, excuse the pun, if you're gluten tolerant. And the other factor is dealing with stressors. Stress plays such a role in your body's immune system. And one thing I've learned to live by, Kim, if you can't change it, don't stress about it. Living by that mantra literally has removed 80% of the stress in my life. And for others, maybe go for a massage, acupuncture, yoga. Stress can wreak havoc on your immune system, and it needs to be addressed just as much as your diet. Do you agree? I mean, here's a woman that's eating right and doing everything right, saying,
yep,
I'm always catching everything.
Yeah, you're right. The stress is, it's unbelievable what it can do to your body and your mind. And, you know, I do tend to stress out a little bit here and there too, but I think here goes my hot bath thing, but I get in that hot bath and I light some candles, and I tell you, and I just kind of try to put it all into perspective, and I say the same thing to myself, like, is worrying about it today going to make the outcome tomorrow any different? No, it really isn't. So just try to back off a little bit and forget about it. And, you know, it's such a good, I know it's harder to kind of say than to do it, but over time and practice, it really does help. And yeah,
it's
stress
so
can age you, and oh, there's so many bad things about stress. We just don't need it.
And, you know, when you're in a bath, in this hot bath, especially if you've got a jacuzzi and Epsom salts and some music playing, you can't be stressed. How can you be stressed? How could you? And since we're back on the bath, I want to share one thing also. This is interesting. In 28 years in practice, I've not had one cold, one sinus, one sore throat, not had a missed sick day. And I will tell you, I'm around sick people all day, and I feel it. My staff, kids come in with snotty noses, and I feel it in my throat. I say, oh, boy, I'm going to catch it. Kim, I go home, and I soak in the hottest bath I can take, and I'm healthy the next day. And I believe that what I'm doing is creating a facade fever. My body's heating up and burning the bacteria, which you do. That's why you get a fever. I'm kind of initiating a fever kind of response, and that's my theory, because the next day I'm healthy.
That is perfect. That's it. That's great. That's wonderful. And think of how much money you've saved. You haven't done anything but go home and take a really wonderful hot bath. And you haven't had to go to the doctor or pop a lot of pills. You just took a bath. There you go.
And, yeah, and it's funny because they'll see me in my throat and they go, oh, you're going to get it. You're going to miss work tomorrow. And I said, no, I got a secret. And then the next day I'm healthy. Oh, you didn't catch it? Well, you know, Glenda is out of 2 weeks and Carrie's out a
mm-hmm.
week and 2 days here. And then I'm like, nope, it didn't get me. I truly think so. There's a lot to not just diet. I think it is taking the bath.
Right, yeah.
It has so much healing points. It heats your body up, and it helps burn off bacteria and also helps you if you can't go to the gym. So, you know, that's my perfect point. That's my cardio. Fantastic. Well, some great topics. Appreciate the listener writing in for us. You know, make sure if you have any questions that you want Kim and I to cover, you write us at chewonthis@toyourgoodhealthradio.com. We're happy to answer any of your questions. And that concludes another segment of Chew on This. And we, of course, are your dynamic duo of due diligence here to help you digest all the latest headlines. You can order Kim's Skinny Bitch series of books, including her healthy eating cookbooks, at Amazon.com. Get them in your library. Read them. They're great stuff. Follow her on Twitter at Skinny Bitch, and for my daily health tweets, follow me at Dr. David Friedman. You can stay up to date on all of our latest health and wellness segments at toyourgoodhealthradio.com, iHeartRadio, or subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. More to come. Stay tuned and stay well.